Hi, this is Mike.
Howdy, this is Dave.
Howdy, this is Nicholas.
And howdy, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. This is episode 163. We're recording this at the beginning of September. I'm not quite sure when it go live because my Mac's broken. I know. My Mac, the screen's broken. It's with the doctors at the moment.
And it serves you right for having a Mac.
Oh, shut up, you. You'll never know what it's like. It's not in a good place. It's not in a happy place, but I'll get this edited in as near the future as I can once I have my baby back and all of my software and so forth. But it's not stopping us recording it. So, here we are on the Empty Spiral podcast. I'm going to ask everybody how they are. So, start with you, Dave. How you been? What have you been up to?
We are exiting summer. It's the end of the hot months, or supposedly hot months,
right,
and end of festival season. So yes. I've just done my one festival for the year, which was a little festival called Stone Dead,
mm-hmm.
Which is a bit more classic rock orientated, but it's all been good fun. Which I've been trying to get Lacuna Core to play, obviously.
Obviously.
I have connections with this festival over the last few years, done a couple of displays over there. So I've got to know the organisers. So if there's going to be hope to get Lacuna Core there, I'm going to push every time, every year.
Why not? Like Andy Dufresne in the library out of Shawshank Redemption, just send a letter every week until you get what you want. Fair enough. How about you, Mike? What have you been up to? How are you doing?
I'm good. I've been busy. So I went to, did I mention I went to Metallica in Milan? I think you may have done a lot.
You did, time. Yeah. You took, when we talked about Metallica, you said.
And then I've been to Poland to see them.
Then, since then,
Bloodstock. That was good.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting to see you at Bloodstock. I wasn't expecting you to go, but.
Yeah. No, I went last year. I had a long gap. So I went in 2007 when Lacuna Core headlined.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that was kind of it because I was more a download person. Mm. And I've stopped going to download because it's just a mess.
Mm.
So I've picked up the baton and started doing Bloodstock again. So
I like Bloodstock. It's a good festival.
Well, it's good because it's 15,000. I mean, they upped it to 25 for Megadeth, but at 15,000, you can do everything and you can move around. So,
have you got tickets for next year? Of course,
I don't have a ticket yet. I've got a hotel booked. That's the main.
Yeah, I think I'll be going next year. I can't think why. Oh, that's the news. So apparently, Lacuna Core are playing Bloodstock 2025. There you go. I don't think we've broken that news here. Although I don't think it was down to us to break it. But there you go. So. But yes, I think that might encourage a few more people that listen to this podcast.
Yes.
I'm sure there's going to be a contingent of us driving into a muddy field and then, you know, walking half a mile to a muddy festival. At least that's my experience of Bloodstock. I love it, but let's be clear. It's
more manageable than 140,000 that were downloaded when Metallica played last year.
That's fair enough. It's
carnage. Absolute carnage. So,
what have I been up to?
You've been to a festival as well, haven't you, Matt?
I went to Hellfest.
Yeah.
Have I not talked about Hellfest? I haven't.
No.
I went to Hellfest in June, which was awesome. Really enjoyed it. Now, that's a festival. That's a big festival. And it's in France, in the middle of nowhere. It's in Clisson. So I better not say the middle of nowhere in case these people from Clisson will go, we're not in the middle of nowhere. But it was probably about a half-hour drive from Nantes. I think there's like 250,000 people, something like that. It's a big festival, but it's a permanent site. Which is really different because it feels like a temple to metal, you know, and when it's got permanent site, you've got a permanent statues of, you know, metal related stuff, whether it's Lemmy or big silvery skulls and the merch thing is like a museum showing all of the previous merch. And, you know, even the toilets have got jets of flame that come out of the top and, you know, it's stuff like that. It's a permanent place. And that's really cool. I had a great time. It was very hot. And my only issue with it is that there were sometimes up to four bands playing simultaneously. So you're like, oh, I've got to make a decision now as to what I'm going to go and see. All right. So it was big. What I really liked about it, and I don't know how the new festivals have evolved in the UK, I've not been to Download for a few years, but I don't remember it being like this. Is it has two main stages that sit side by side with screens on either side of them. Yeah. So in theory, you could sit in the middle and you could see both stages simultaneously. And what they do is they play a main act on one while they're prepping the other one. And then you literally get no more than 5 minutes between cutovers.
Oh, so that's a really good idea.
Never hours of waiting. You literally watch, you know, Blackstone Cherry over there and then Wargasm over there and then... And then
that's kind of what I liked about the Ozfests back in the early noughties when they did that with the second stage, basically played shorter sets while the main stage did the changeovers.
Yeah,
so you had absolute constant flow of bands. You saw everything. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Anyway, I digress. That's something that happened 2 months ago now. Gosh, time flies. I went on a holiday, I did a cruise in Norway, which was amazing. Lots of fjords and Viking stuff. That was a lot of fun. I built my Lego. We're going to talk about nerd stuff later. And I spend far too much money on games. And I did a little bit of painting recently. So, yeah, I'm definitely living my nerd life still. So that's me. And that kind of brings us on to, quite nicely, so let's see how I did that segue just then, onto our special Coiler guest today, which is Nicholas, who was there at the beginning when he said, "Hey, this is Nicholas." And I'd like to say hello to Nicholas. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us a little bit of an introduction, sir, about yourself before we get into our main topic of conversation, which is you and Lacuna Coil.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Matt, Dave, and Mike for inviting me. I appreciate to be here. My name's Nicholas Reklevich. I've been a Lacuna Coil fan for quite a while. What have I been doing? Well, like you said, Matt, I'm very nerdy and my nerd street cred's pretty damn high. I've been going to Gen Con. I just did a convention this weekend for charity. And then in May, I actually ran into Mike on tour with Lacuna Coil. So that was fun seeing him at the Four Stops. But I mean, I'm happy to be here with, you know, my story is very, you know, unique and I believe very personable, and the relationship I've been able to create with the band and Christina from just conversations has really opened up a different understanding of the, you know, music and its power through connectivity and the community in general.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's get straight into that. So tell us how you got into Lacuna Coil, how you encountered Lacuna Coil.
So how I encountered Lacuna Coil originally was, there used to be, before it was Sirius XM and just Sirius Radio, they had a thing called Corridor Covers. And I loved it because I love like 80s music and all this, you know, stuff covered. But they had the, you know, Enjoy the Silence cover. And I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. So I started listening and I really enjoyed it. I got that album, of course, Karma Code, and got that and then started, you know, getting some of their other albums. So what brought me into heavy metal was Typo Negative. I remember Mortal Kombat came out in 1995 on my 15th birthday, August 17th. So that's when they came out. Actually, they had two other albums, Typo Negative on August 17th. But anyhow, so that's what got me into it. And of course, Lacuna Coil is big friends and you know, family of Typo Negative, which was really neat just to see my progress in music and starting to gather that up. I never saw them live for a very long time. I used to see concerts now and then sporadically, and then I like to recount, I was gonna see Typo Negative in 2008, but I had some work stuff came up, I pushed it off, and then obviously, unfortunately, we lost Peter, so that thing of me just got taken away.
Sure.
So it was definitely a regret. So I said, I really kind of want to see bands, but I didn't really make it a priority. In 2016, I was in a single vehicle motorcycle crash, separated pelvis, crushed left orbital, massive concussion, right side brain bleed.
Wow.
So I would say just a little bit of trauma.
Yeah.
And that kind of opened my eyes in a lot of different aspects. And number one, it's why I will always see a band, because you never know when they're not going to be here, when you might not be here. And then the really intricate story with music and Lacuna Coil was, so every brain injury is different. I was not cognizant at all. Never truly had brain surgery or anything else, but I was out of it. So right side, I wasn't aware. When I was going through like different My girlfriend would play my Pandora Station, which was Typo Negative, which had, Typo Negative, Lacuna Coil, Nightwish, Deftones, Opeth, whatever. That was playing. And the people and the nurses would be like weirded out playing it. But actually, when I was going through like pain spikes, my blood pressure would go up. When she played my music, it would lower it.
Oh, wow.
And I
Okay.
started talking to, and so that was really neat and just being able to be part of it. And then, that was obviously that was neat. And then pandemic happened. Before pandemic, I got to see Lacuna Coil live in 2019. It was a lot of fun in Baltimore. That was great. I didn't know about the VIP, so I didn't get a chance to meet them. And then we were all hit by a wonderful pandemic, so every part of the world went out. But I think in that time, there was a board game that Lacuna Coil teamed up with. There was a Kickstarter for a game called Horns Up, which was featuring Lacuna Coil, and that got me really interested. So I made sure I kickstarted, but I started reaching out to the creator and started speaking my story about how much their music and did, and he was very moved, and he actually gave me an address to send a letter to. So I wrote a very long letter about, I talk a lot and write a lot about my story, my brain injury, and the music through my healing. And circumstance happened. We started kind of messaging a little bit, and then the website Cameo came up, and I started kind of talking a little bit to Christina. And then I shared some of my more intimate stories about my TBI. My first brain injury mentoring. So I'm a mentor at Mount Vernon Peer
Amazing.
at Mount Vernon Hospital. I'm a trauma survivor volunteer. We speak with trauma survivors. But through that, I've done quite a bit of speeches. So my first brain injury mentoring speech was at a birthday present, but a lot of people there, including my hospital therapist, who gave this talk. And I always joked, I said, I'm going to talk about lunging and stuff like that, balance exercise. My girlfriend's like, that's ridiculous. So I did record it, I lunged. That's where I proposed.
Ah,
And
brilliant. Okay.
I sent that video to Christina, and she was just like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. And then I also did a speech at a brain injury conference, a keynote, and I spoke about just healing and just rehabilitation and emotions in the healing environment. But I did bring up goth metal, and it was good. And Christina watched. I mean, it's a 45-minute speech, and she said how awesome it was. And again, that's how this conversation really started, and it kind of, I would say, blossom from there. It went good. I went to the next tour, I think the following year in 2021 in Pittsburgh, and I ran into them there, and that's where I gifted them the first set of art that I met this Brazilian artist during pandemic that created for them, and they really loved it. And again, that's how the conversation started happening with me and the rest of the band. It was wonderful. So every time I've seen them, I've either had a gimmick or something else to gift them, and it's been really good. I don't know if you ever saw Matt, the I know Christina put it on her wall. It was like I call it a Scavator, where she was Skeletor. My buddy that did the art did that. And the picture of all of us, we have all the entire band, all look, they're all set up as He-Man characters, the entire band. So it's,
I think you sent that to me,
I'll
a
make sure I
picture of
send
that.
it to you
Yeah,
after.
I think he did. Yeah, it was a while ago, wasn't it? This was back in 22, I think it
Yeah.
was. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
So it was really cool just getting to know them, and the more I spoke to them, they became very, I don't want to say fascinated, very very appreciative of their fans and who I was and my engagement. And it did make it feel like it wasn't one way. That was something that I was not expecting too. I thought it was going to be a one way, relationship. And it's actually funny that we're talking now on, September 2nd, that, about their engagement. And they just won an award for, the most, your social media
Heroes of social
presence.
media. Yeah.
And it
Amazing.
was funny because when I first started talking and messaging Christina, my girlfriend was like, my wife was like, it's not really her, it's probably a publicist. And all of a sudden she's like, oh my gosh, that's real. That's her. And from Richard messaging me, or Mackie, or Andrea, again, it was a very, fluent and real conversations and messaging. And that's something that through my, there's a lot talking about injury, but through my injury and through my growth and through my struggles, that I've been able to make real human connections. And I try to tell people, just take that chance to say, hey, because you never know when that band is going to be, holy shit, this is cool, or you know, recognize you when you're walking in the street. I heard my name because Christina saw me walking outside a venue in Delaware, and I talked to her for like 10 minutes. So again, just by saying hey and recognizing someone, we recognize, it makes people feel good about who they are and the gifts they give.
Yeah, I mean, you know, living in the moment, isn't it, really? Taking the opportunity to say hi. The worst that can happen is they say nothing, right? Yep. Or maybe they could swear at you and, you know, give you the finger or something. But generally speaking, the worst is you're ignored, okay?
Right.
And I guess if we go into those kind of situations knowing that the worst that could happen is that we're going to be ignored and we're okay with that, then anything that's not that is going to be positive. So the fact that, as pretty much anybody that's been in the community for a long time will generally go, well, these people are the most, you know, humane, calm, lovely, down to earth people. And it kind of makes it a blessing because you love the music and it's impossible not to love them too. Right. So it makes it like a real, feel like a proper family.
Yeah. And I mean, that was, again, I'm very fortunate with my various aspects of my healing and my injury. And so I, you know, again, talked to Christina a bunch and, you know, the band, and I ended up, was able to set up a neat little interview with her of, you know, in, you know, March of 2023, which was right after the anniversary, I called it, of my trauma. And we spoke, and March is actually, so it's funny, March 15th, 2016. So that's Ides of March, which is, has a little bit of a word to it. And then March is actually the, Brain Injury Awareness Month. So I double jeopardy it. It was good. But meeting, you know, talking to them, I interviewed Christina and I spoke to her about, you know, my trauma, my healing, and how music and their music in particular really helped me through that transition. And it was also good to talk about perspectives because it was not too far after Kamali's XX came out. So then therefore, you know, you have a perspective, you have, which we're going to be talking about XX, XX song today. But again, it's what were you at 20 years ago? Where are you at now? And here's how things are the same, but here's how things are different. And different's okay. It's just different.
Yes. Yeah, and I think, I mean, we will talk about that. We talk about every one of the songs. And I think, you know, just reflecting back when Comalize XX came out, there were people like, oh, we don't need this. We've already got Comalize. It's like, well, I say it so many times, it's probably become a cliche now, that Lacuna Coil have blessed us by giving us choice. And I love that you can, you know, you can, Comalize is now an a la carte album. You can pick and choose what version of the song you like, which I think is amazing. How many times do we get that? Now you talked about the interview, and that's on YouTube. I mean, it's been on Empty Spiral, and we'll link that in the show notes as well, so people can get to see that again. There is another dimension of that which you alluded to at the beginning. You talked about being a nerd, and it's not just about how music has helped you, but how gaming has helped you, right? And I'm excited to hear this bit because I'm a nerd as well. So and we're all nerds, right? Because nerds rule the world, right? We just, the people that aren't nerds just don't realize it yet. I think when they come to terms with it, they'll all be much happier in their nerdishness, right? So tell me about that aspect, Nicholas.
Yeah, well, like I said, my nerd street cred's pretty high.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wearing the stripes, I like it.
Yeah. But I, you know, growing up, I mean, I was an 80s boy, you know, 80s kid, so you grow up, but back then it was not cool to play, to read comics, to, you know, collect, you know, playing cards, to collect, you know, to play D&D. You used to run away to get chased to do that. Now it's like popular, like what the hell, how did that happen? So, you know, I was a nerd for a long time. I mean, I was in a real rough separation divorce, and instead of retreating, because I could have just jumped back on World of Warcraft, so I'm a World of Warcraft survivor, and I'm okay with that. I got my, like, you know, 10-year chip. I, you know, I could have been, you know, in that, but after my separation, I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go see things. So I would go to a concert here or there, but I would go out and do a lot of gaming. I involved in a community Paizo, Pathfinder Organized Play.
Yep.
And we go and we're out and about. So I met people by going out of the house and not being stuck in, which was very healthy, especially after a relationship or something traumatic. And then, you know, yeah, so that really helped me just stun and not be stuck inside my own head. Just gaming, being creative, meeting people, laughing, having fun. And then I decided to be, I mean, I wanted a motorcycle for a while and my friends had it, it's going to be great. And then I got it. And then I decided to have a pretty horrific wreck. I was in the trauma ICU for 2 weeks. I wasn't cognizant. Like I mentioned before, I wasn't aware what's going on. I would Yep. respond to things like a child would, like we're going to go to dinner and just try to do, I couldn't stand. I couldn't, they had to keep my arms tied down because if not, I started pulling staples out of my head and intubator out. Mm-hmm. So definitely a lot of compulsivity issues. When I woke up and came to, again, I heard weird dreams and I would hear music during things. I was technically there, but my brain, I don't feel was there. But I remember hearing a lot of the music and, you know, we talk about a lot of, you know, music. What did it for you? I say, the song Trip the Darkness was, I say that was my mantra of coming through a brain injury from escaping madness one more time. Yeah. Just like, cause you know, darkness is something that is, it's this terrible, cold, calm silence. And that is something that drives me mad thinking about it. So not being near that is good, but I digress to that because brain injury, you know, everyone's different. Right side is a lot of cognitive thoughts, creative thoughts, analytical, problem solving. I was left side negligent. I couldn't move my left side as well. I also saw two of everything. So I had to relearn a lot of those functions, how to see again, a lot of fine motor skills, and how to do a cognitive difference between analytical and this. And what I found gaming was a wonderful way of doing that because I would come in those environments, which would be generally noisy. Of course, I was in a wheelchair for a while. I was non-weight bearing for 12 weeks. But when I went to a gaming table, of course, there's information, but you are dealing with math and creativity at the same time, story-driven, analytical, problem-solving. Yeah. I always moved like the pieces with my left hand. I would just do what I could to, you know, move them around. And again, with vision and other stuff, trying to look at those different perspectives really helped me get to it. And then through that gaming, it also really helped me fight isolation.
Yes.
Because, you know, isolation, it happens to everybody, but when you're trapped in an injury in your head or whatever, it's very isolating. And, you know, I like to use that as an analogy. I talk to people in mentoring about, you know, us people in rehab, we are some of the strongest ones to understand how to do isolation. Mm. And this is the only time in the world we just went through where everybody was going through the similar problems at once, being away from everything. So we can help beat that isolation by reaching out and talking. And it was nice. And when Christina and I had the interview, I shared it with a lot of the Coiler community. And I had people reach out to me from Germany and other part of the Coiler team that talked about the trauma, how it affected them, or I had people that I shared it to and trauma survivors who reached out to me and said how much they appreciated Christina and who she was and her music. And then funny enough, literally 2 weeks later, she had an interview with the Charismatic Voice, and she talks about hour and 10 minutes in, she talks about she had an interview podcast recently with a person with a brain injury and talked about his injury and how their music did. So holy crap, look at that. I had a little conversation and it's like that was in their mind. So when you think about it like that, when you can thank an artist what they do, it really can change a lot of their gift. That means they're doing something right. Because I would say, you know, you might forget what people said, might forget what they did, whatever, but you never forget how people made you feel. And correct. When someone makes you feel seen, recognize, and that you are also giving gifts to others, really makes them see their validity.
Yeah, and you talk about the kind of the connections you make and feeling of isolation, especially when we're in lockdown. And as a fellow gamer, I feel like I got a lot from the ability to play online with my friends, right? You know, whether it's via Zoom right. or whether via a virtual tabletop, we were able to play those role-playing games. They were able to play D&D and others. And it's not the same seeing someone in two dimensions on your screen. We know that, you know, head and shoulders. There were people that I employed and left my organization. They never got to see the bottom half of each other. You know what I mean? That was one of the byproducts of all those years of lockdown. But you could still maintain that social muscle and play those games. And I like the way that you talked about how those games gave you, you know, they're about innovation, creativity, mathematics, you know, all of those things. And it's one of the reasons why I've been playing those games far longer than I've been listening to Lacuna Coil, and I will always be playing those games now, and I'll be doing both now. So when I talk about things like Horns Up or Zombicide White Death and Lacuna Coil and saying those are my two worlds colliding, it's a literal thing, right? They really are. And it's wonderful. And I can have conversations. Like when Mackie says to me, a couple of years ago, oh, yeah, he started playing D&D with his friends. And I'm like, that's amazing. And he's like, yeah, I've got a druid and I love him. I'm like, this is amazing. What kind of, you know, a conversation I'm having with my friend in Lacuna Coil about him playing D&D. It's like my mind is blown.
Right.
And then a couple of years ago, Cree invited me onto a Twitch channel and I'm talking about role playing with her and then at the time she did the cyberpunk, you know, role-playing couple of streams and stuff. And again, it was like these things all coming together in this kind of conglomeration of different things. And I guess where I'm going with this is that we've all got these connections and it's amazing how they all tie together and they can create a sense of community. Changing the subject a little bit, well, maybe not that much. You talked about discovering Lacuna Coil through Enjoy the Silence by way of the covers, right? You talked about the importance of Trip the Darkness as your mantra, your song, when you were recovering. Do they, either of those, constitute a favourite song, or is there another song that's your favourite Lacuna Coil song?
You know, it's like, what do you say when you have a kid?
Favorite child.
I don't have kids. What's your favourite child?
Yeah. I knew you'd say that.
Each of them can touch you in a different way. I mean, you can hear example. Here's a wonderful, powerful. I have a pair of nuts tattooed on my shoe, on my feet, but I have nutshells tattooed on my ankle. And I remember I was going through something really crappy, an argument with my ex, this and that. And I was just really frustrated. And on my typo station, all of a sudden Nutshell came on by Alice in Chains. Mm-hmm. I listened to it and it just hit me. And I was like, I can't be in this situation anymore. My gift of self is gone. So certain music hit you a different time. And we were, you know, the first time I met Lacuna Coil was in 2022 in Pittsburgh. I met them in Pittsburgh and it was a wonderful show, but that was, I think, their first time going on tour since pandemic. And I think that was one of their earlier stops. But she played they played Save Me. And that was important because, you know, 4 months before, 6 months before, I lost my champ, my dog. I loved him to death. And he was there through my trauma, my divorce, my marriage, everything. And I remember I was cleaning out my garage one day after he passed. And then I was listening to Black Anima. And then all of a sudden Save Me came on. And I was like, I just started crying. That song hit me at a certain time. So when I saw them live play it was just like, you know, the feeling and the emotions of it. So, I mean, I don't know how I pick certain songs and something where it just, they seem to grow. I mean, it is weird in a way, I guess, but it's like, it's only like they're, to me, sometimes it's like they're getting better. They're doing new things and new techniques and that are really powerful. And I believe they're also connecting a lot into the emotional space of where it is. Mm-hmm. I saw, and the last tour was the first time they performed live in the meantime. And I got to see it at the second show in New Jersey where, you know, her and Ash were doing it. But that song is about having a reset, about depression, about, you know, suicidal thoughts. So I have a tattoo on my wrist, you know, semicolon is suicide, you know, ideology, and the green ribbons for mental health and brain injury. And shit, this last weekend I was running a Pathfinder gaming day and we raised like $2,400 for American Foundation of Suicide Prevention.
Oh, wow, that's
So
amazing.
yeah, and so you know, that shows us our nerdery, our excitement, our joy. If we take it in a different direction, here's the amount of people that can benefit from it. And I was able to, that's again, one of the, there's many amazing things I've been able to do, and I don't take anything I have for granted. I'm here for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I'm here now and I'm going to make sure I can help bring others up. You know, I learned something about servant leadership, being able to help others and help bring them up. And that's what I want to do. And again, I was blown away at the amount of compassion that this band had. Again, they are very compassionate people, and it also showed the compassion in music. Because I mean, for the longest time, everybody's like, oh, heavy metal, that's you know, yelling all this anger. But you see this, and again, I would say Lacuna Coil sometimes a little gateway into that type of music because they
For
are
sure.
really soft in some. You can do, again, I heard them first, you know, and Enjoy the Silence. So, you know, that's is how I did it. And then it obviously grew from there. So I think that's really important just to reach out.
I take the view, and the guys would have heard this more than once. I believe there's a Lacuna Coil song for everyone. You know, the diversity in their music over the years. I'm utterly convinced that someone, everyone will find something to like in that music because it is so diverse. You know, I generally believe that, and I've not been proven wrong yet. Who I introduce it to, there's always like, I didn't like that bit, I didn't like that album, but hey, that song was quite cool. It's like, there you go, it's the one song. Gotcha.
And it is like hearing things at a certain time can really just change the way the song might have meant before. And
Yeah.
you know, from depression or just different, you know, dark points, you can be, you know, wow, here's where I was able to come from there. And that's something that is, you know, can really change. Like I was driving one day and No Need to Explain came on. And I was like, just some of the lyrics are just like, you hear them and it's just, you know, reflecting to be who you are and just like, wow, it's, you're right. You can have an emotion for anything. You can have, it's okay to have a shit. It's okay to have a crap day. It's okay to have a bad day. It's fine. But there is ways to pull yourself out of it. And as I talked to Christina about on our interview, you know, when she goes low, she, and I do too, we go as low as we can because that way everything above us feels better. And music can do it again. You know, I Typo Negative is what brought me in, and Peter was definitely very, he struggled with a lot, but his music has helped pull me out of dark ditches. Like there was a crazy when my brain again wasn't working. I was like, this is pretty metal. Like I'm at a funeral and they're playing Typo Negative. This is awesome. Like I said, people are surrounding this coffin. This is badass. Like that's what my brain thought I had a dream about.
Well, I mean, what a journey you have been on. I guess just to sort of round out our conversation, that so the question we inevitably ask it whenever we have a fellow coiler on, it's what does being a Lacuna Coil fan mean to you? And it almost, given the nature of your story, it feels almost superfluous to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So just to hear it in your own words, what does being a Lacuna Coil fan mean to you, Nicholas?
It's a sense of connection I wasn't expecting. It wasn't just jamming, listening to a radio station. It has built friendships that I was not expecting. When I was at the Reading PA show, I mean, again, my mother was sick and, you know, recently passed. I mean, but so many people reached out to me, but I was talking to a gentleman there who I never met before in line, in the VIP line, talking to him, and he was with his daughter. She got to meet the band, but I started telling him a story and he reached out to me, how's it going? And then when mom passed, he actually reached out to me a couple times, say, how you doing? And it's like, you know, you meet someone there. And you know, I met another gentleman, Charlie, who's actually lives in Maryland, a handful of times
We
added.
know
And
Charlie. Yeah, good
yeah.
friend of ours. Yeah.
So you meet these people and it's like, wow, you see them when you're going to shows, like, you know, four shows in a row or whatever. It's like, oh, wow, I remember you see people you recognize and I have zero problem about jumping up and saying hi to someone or something like that, but you find it's really good. And again, I probably speak too much about my trauma, my brain injury, because sometimes it's very prevalent in my mind. But I find when I talk about it, I hear it. Like at a show in New Jersey, I spoke to some EMS people, and they started telling me about, I mean, they were very appreciative of me and my story because I do a lot with trauma survivors, and we also work a lot with EMT and speak to firehouses and stuff like that. So it's been able to take this little fandom of music and be able to create it to something that is greater, that can music can bring people together that would never thought.
Yes.
Different likes. I mean, gaming the same way. I mean,
Yeah.
you're going to a gaming table and there's different people's every, ethnicity, orientation, whatever. They're all there to have a common goal. Going to concerts, same thing. And I have people that were at, I never, I went to Lacuna Coil concert with when I was in Norfolk, and this woman was with her niece and never been to a metal show, and she was saying just how wonderful it was. Everybody was so nice, and I think Lacuna Coil really brings that out in they portray the emotions they want, they appreciate in their fans, I think.
Yeah.
And people tend to be drawn towards that of this, what I tell Cree in our interview, you made kind cool, like you made being kind to others and cool. And she was like, oh, that's, So we've been able to create something that is more of a community that I didn't think I really needed at certain times. And I'm
Yeah.
fortunate for that.
Amazing. Amazing. I think whenever I reflect on the Coiler community and just Lacuna Coil and whether it's gaming or concerts, it reminds me so strongly that there are more things that connect us than separate us. And if humanity could remind itself of that fact every day, I generally believe the world would be a better place. So
100%, very well done. And I'm from, I consider say I'm in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. So the wonderful state. So that political divisiveness is very prevalent outside of D.C. So for me, it's very like that. But when I can connect to people in the, Coiler, from their IG group or their Twitch channel. Again, it's people from literally around the globe doing. And I don't know if I shared this story with you, Matt. I met someone in that artist friend that I have that from Brazil. He introduced me to his friend's girlfriend, and she was telling me that she couldn't see Lacuna Coil because she got sick and she was in the hospital and she was really ill. And I was like, I'm obviously so sorry for this and that, but she sent me a picture from her in the hospital. When I saw Lacuna Coil in Tennessee, I had them, I showed the little thing, and they signed the picture for her in the hospital. And they just said, get better, well wishes, you got this. And I mean, it was just unbelievable. I was just like, she couldn't believe I did it. And then, I tagged them both, and like Christina responds like literally 20 minutes before they were going to go on about, strength or whatever. But I was able to help this young woman when they were in their Summer Breeze tour go to the concert and get into the concert. And
wow.
I kind of told her ways to kind of get there. And I sent her the Coiler We Fear Nothing flag, because I have a lot of them now. I sent her that and I said, bring this picture. And well, she was able to kind of show security, like, no, I want to tell the band I'm here. And she got to go in there, and her friend recorded them, Christina hugging her, Mackie, they couldn't believe it was her, just how. And so again, I was able to take this vulnerability I had and start doing and building through so much of it. And that's like, I mean, it doesn't make sense how real that is. I mean, it's not a Hallmark moment, but it really is just, wow, this is definitely a unique experience that I don't know how many people other can say that they've been able to have.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I we hear so many stories, so many anecdotes of a similar kind, and it's just a reminds us just how strong the community is, how much strength the band give us and create that space and that connections to give to empower people to do that and be good to each other. I love that statement you've made being kind cool. That's a I think that's a really good place for us to leave this conversation. So, because I'm sure we could be talking for the rest of the evening on this. But Nicholas, this has been absolutely delight. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story. It's, you know, utterly inspirational. It genuinely, it's humbling to hear it. I'm looking forward to meeting you again face to face very, very soon. We now have a review to move on to. We are going to review the song Unspoken, XS. Nicholas, you staying for us for the review? Want to give a short
answer? Yeah, I can't add as many technical details as you guys have, but I definitely...
That's fine. We make this stuff up as we go along anyway. So don't think we're none of us are speaking from a position of authority. The only authority we've got is we've listened to the song probably more than once, but maybe less than 10 times. I don't know. You'll have to ask the guys. But okay, let's go straight into it then. So as a reminder, Unspoken XX off of Comalize XX, we originally reviewed Unspoken way back at the end of November, 30th of November, 2013. Okay, so what, 11 years ago, essentially, right? And I'm not going to tell you what scores we gave it. We'll leave that bit to the end, all right? But it was in episode 46 of the Empty Spiral podcast. So I'll put that link in the show notes and you'll be able to go there and listen to the original if you want to. So let's get started, shall we? Who's going to go first? Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I feel like it might be my turn to go. I'm normally really quick to go, and over to you, Michael, or over to you, Dan. Yeah. I think there's only every couple of episodes, they both give me that look as if to say, you better go first this time. And I feel like this is my turn. So my reflections on this song. So it's pretty much the same length as the original song. I think it's maybe a couple of seconds different in length. But it starts very, very differently. You know, we've got a real strong build up. We get the heavy bass, which has become a kind of a signature, I think, on the XX versions of these songs. We get that really nice sort of synthetic undercurrent, which plays throughout the entire song. It's kind of like a doo-doo-doo kind of floating around. And I know in the past, Dave has referred to some of the songs, or at least one song on there is like the horror movie version of the song. And I feel that we get that here as well. There's that undertone, which is really nice. Lyrically, there's not a lot of lyrical change, but there's a lot of, you know, moving the lyrics around. But what we do get from a vocal perspective is it's quite different. You know, we get Andrea kicks in with the growls, typically plays out the first part of every single verse, and then Cree comes in, takes over, and Andrea goes into the background, and then Cree brings that intensity in the chorus. And the chorus, I think, is where it's at. Chorus is where it differs the most, in my opinion, from the original, although that's not to say the chorus, the verses don't, because as I say, we've got growling now, we've got that switch over. And in the most part, the original Unspoken was a Christina song, right? It was a Christina, and if you listen really carefully, you could hear Andrea harmonizing, but it was mostly a Christina song. It was also, in my opinion, tonally quite a flat song. It didn't have any rise and falls. From its structure, it was pretty much flat. And that's not a criticism. That's just how it was. We didn't have any solos, which we have a really nice guitar solo. We didn't have any reprises. We didn't have any returns. We get that here. And in some respects, I think that makes that 3 minutes and 39 seconds or whatever it is feel much shorter than the original. Because in the original, we had lots of any other sides. How many sides does this thing have? By the time you've got 3 minutes and 37 seconds here, you've heard any other sides so many times. We don't get that now. It concludes much quicker. After that, that guitar solo, that reprise, that return, we get the chorus, and then it's pretty much done and it's over. And we go, okay, cool. That was a pretty intense 3 minutes or whatever it was. So I think overall, it's more maturely constructed. It concludes quicker. And what I wrote down is it feels like a better Lacuna Coil experience. Don't know if that resonates with anybody, but that's what it feels like to me. I would think I would like the vocals a little bit higher in the mix, but I've said that a couple of times about other songs on this album. But I think they're clear enough. I don't think you could talk about Unspoken without necessarily talking about the acoustic version, which I love, by the way. And when we first reviewed the song back in 2013, we talked about the acoustic version that they sometimes play in the US, typically when they're in touring in different record shops and stuff. And I still love that version. I still think that's probably my favorite version of Unspoken. But I really like Unspoken XX. And we'll talk about the ratings in a little while. But for me, it's definitely replaced the original. I really like it. I really like the intensity. I really like the build-up. I love the chorus, the tonal shift and the rising of intensity through Christina's voice. I like the guitar solo. There's not much I don't like. In fact, I can't think of anything I don't like. It feels like a more rounded, more mature song. There you go. That's my thoughts on Carmel. I keep saying this, on Unspoken XX. Mike, give me your views.
Very similar for what you've just said. A lot of what I've written down. To me, it's almost lulling you into a false sense of security. Like the original one is very melodic and dreamlike in how the song is. And with this, you kind of almost get sucked into that with the softer guitar opening. And then bang, it's evolved, like you say, as a song. And they have like the whole overall feel of the album.
Mm.
I think for me, how it interjects between the pair of them with how they sing this time works better. And it's become clearer as a song in the structure of it. In the original, we had a kind of a bit of a bass solo near the end of it. Mm-hmm. This time that's been upgraded and we got a much longer guitar solo in there, which I think works really well. Overall, it seems punkier, fiercer, heavier, with a whole feel to it. And like the horror theme, I also have a futuristic theme element with it going on. Like it could be in the background of a sci-fi movie or Alien or something like that. Definite vibes with that. And then for me, the little bit of the solo and how it ends links it back to how the original was.
Mm-hmm.
And certain
without elements, there being told any other time, any other side.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And crawling up my eyes and feeling your arms around me, that part with Christina, it's almost a link to the past with the upgrade, as it were, for this, but totally different. And I just think it's heavier and angrier, more to the point of what the gist of the song is about, and makes it work much better.
Cool. So you're a fan then? That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, what about you?
Well, it's interesting, going back to something Nicholas said earlier about change, differences. You know, it's not necessarily good or bad, it's just different. But there's a certain amount of fear involved with things being different. And I think my problem originally when I heard this song was my fear of it being different.
Okay.
I looked up my
very being on the left hand side of the change curve, as it were. Sorry, I'm talking work, but yeah.
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah.
I made some very, very brief notes on my first listen back when XX came out. And on this song, I've just basically said I'm not a fan of Andy's growling.
Okay.
I want to completely change my mind on that, because I think the fear of being different has now passed, and I've had a proper appreciation, and I honestly think it's really, really helped. It has changed this song, and it does work very well. Particularly as Andy wasn't really in it much on the original, and is very much a focal point, and it's changed the essence of the song from something a bit more, I'm going to say ethereal, because it wasn't quite there, but dreamy, should we say, maybe even wishy-washy. It's a bit harsh, but it's more like that. And now it's a bit more smacky in the face. Mm. It's got intent and purpose. So I think that vocal interplay they've got now has definitely done the job.
I think it matches the lyrics better. I think when you look at some of the lyrics, they're quite harsh, but it was all kind of very, very, you know, clawing out my eyes. I mean, that's something you want a little bit more intensity to, isn't it? So.
It is. I mean, the lyrics actually, that's one other thing I picked up on, particularly that the one line, when your envy's on a piece of paper, let me sweetly smile. I just love that. It's so poetic. But it does conjure up certain images where other lyrics, they can sort of get lost in the mix, I suppose. You sing along, you don't always pick on them. But that one line has always stuck with me, and it's more prevalent on this version, I think. So I do particularly like that.
I think the part of it is that the lyrics felt stronger than the song, if you see what I mean. And now they feel like there's a bit of balance between the lyrics and the music. Now feel like they're on the same level. It's kind of where I'm
at. Yes, harmony on many levels.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the thing they've done with the chorus is very clever, actually, because they've, without changing it, they've completely changed it.
Yes.
Yeah. This is very, very clever, and it's worked brilliantly because now it's got this bigger chorus that means something, and I think you almost lost it before.
I felt it didn't really feel like much of a chorus. It just felt like a continuation of the verse. That's why I said it was tonally quite flat. You know, it's like goes on, and then it just sort of peters out to nothing. Easy to get lost in the album. Whether we could say the same about this song and the rest of Songs of XX, I guess we'll reflect on when we get to the overall view of the album. But this certainly feels like it's got its own personality, more so than it had before. Cool. Any final comments on you?
I think everything's pretty much been covered by you guys as well. I mean, the one thing I perhaps repeat is the movie score reflection, because it does. It's gone from... not quite Lord of the Rings, but something a bit more folky based, and it's now definitely more of a Blade Runner feel.
Ooh, Blade Runner, yeah, cool. All right, I like it. Bit of a Blade Runner fan, so yeah, that resonates with me. Cool. Okay, so you're a fan. Has it replaced the original for you, or is it just different?
Originally, when I first heard it, I preferred the original, but I think, like I said before, it's down to a bit of fear. It's settled in and it's had time to bed down and reassessing. I'm more of a fan of the XX version.
Okay. All right. Nicholas, over to you, sir. Give us your reflections on Unspoken XX.
I think you guys, spoke very clearly that, the other one was harmonious. It was there. It was very pretty. It was wonderful. But it didn't really showcase the differences of their music or their vocals. And now when you hear it, it is a totally different intro. Like, Andrea, he's very aggressive with it. His growls are there. But then when they start combining with Christina's, voice, it starts, blending in. And then when she just trails to the chorus stuff, it all of a sudden you start feeling it more. You start hearing the higher levels. And for one of my favorite tastes of seeing them, like Lacuna Coil is a band that when I saw them live, I said, this is better than the albums. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I like the, dichotomy of like a rougher music and like a wonderful vocal. So you have, Andrea's voice, and all of a sudden you have, Cree's vocals. It's different. And you're right. The other one, I was the same way. David, like, I didn't know if I'd like, I kind of liked a lot of the old ones, but when you start listening more, you're like, I really like this, because it does seem like everything fits in good places, because the guitar solo is something now I'm just expecting it. And it's, when you listen to old stuff, it's obviously a lot different. And I think it does create not to just run on, it really has a good structure to it to really, feel and not just listen to. I think that's one of the things I would say. You can feel it, not just listen. You feel it more with the aggression, with the changes in the tempo and the vote. You feel it more versus just, it's a wonderful song listening to it, but now you can feel it more.
Yeah, I don't think, reflecting for a moment on what you just said there, Nicholas, I don't think I really felt a lot of emotion from the original Unspoken. I like the music, but I can't, it didn't really evoke an emotion to me, whereas this does. And I think in that respect,
it was like a good song, but it was missing the passion.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It didn't have that. It didn't have that passion. This definitely got that passion now. And, your point about Andrea's more involved in the song, for me, a good Lacuna Lacuna Coil experience or a good Lacuna Coil song is both of them, you know, driving off each other, right? You know, the cliche of the Beauty and the Beast lyrics or whatever, however you want to present it. As much as I love songs that are one or the other, I like it when they're both in there and I can both hear them and I can both get that vibe, right? You know, that's Lacuna Coil to me. Okay, so scores wise then, I'm going to sort of just reflect on for a moment on what we scored. So back in 2013, it was myself, it was Russ, it was Mike. Mike, you gave it a 6.5 out of 10, 6.5 out of 10. Okay. Mm. We actually rated the acoustics and you gave the acoustic version of it 9.5 out of 10. So big difference. All right. I gave the song 7 out of 10 and the acoustic 9 out of 10. So, and for completeness, Russ gave it 6 out of 10 and 8.5 out of 10. So we clearly collectively liked the acoustic more than the album version. We're not reviewing the acoustic version, although Dave, Nicholas, if you want to give a score on the acoustic version, feel free to do so. I think I'm going to give this one an 8 out of 10. Okay. I think this is a solid improvement on the original. I still really like the acoustic version, so I don't think it quite is up there. I do think the song has replaced the original for me, but that doesn't mean I won't go back to it from time to time when I want a bit of nostalgia. So for me, this is an 8 out of 10 song. Mike, what about you?
Yes, it's an evolvement of the original, and I'd say a solid 8.5. Ooh. There is a lot on the album that you could give a solid 10 for. And I think this is on the way to being there, but not quite there. Because I think the original, unfortunately, if you're comparing the originals to the newer ones with what's happening, it's weaker with the original. So with an upgrade, as I'm calling it, this is making some kind of sense.
Some kind of sense. I think what you're saying, yeah, it was a relatively weak song compared to the other songs, so they've upgraded it, but it's not leapfrogged other songs to be the best things.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, so 8.5 out of 10. Still a good score, come on.
Mine
an 8.5 in my exams or whatever it is I'm doing. That's a good 85%. I'm up for that. Okay, Dave, what about you? What's your thoughts on this? And maybe also a chance to sort of reflect on what you thought the original was worth.
Yeah, that's what I was going to throw at first. For the original version, I had made a note it would be 6.5.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's pretty consistent then.
Yeah, because it's a decent song, but a little lackluster.
Mm.
Had I reviewed this when the XX had initially come out, I'd have scored the new version about 6, I think.
Okay.
But
different from no better, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But doing it properly now, I had put 7.5. I don't know whether to make that an 8. So I'm teetering.
Do not take any pressure from us.
I put 7.5, so we'll stick with that. But it's definite improvement, mm-hmm, and there's a lot to love about it, particularly the chorus.
Mm.
But we'll stick with 7.5.
7.5 it is. Okay, cool. Nicholas, thoughts on the original and thoughts on this one, if you will.
Well, I did enjoy the original, but it is very, you know, having it in the background, just hearing Cree's voice was very comforting. You know, it was very, very nice to hear and very, it was a beautiful, pretty song. And just like, mm-hmm, you said, the acoustic version is very different. But so I did enjoy the original one. I would say probably about the same, 6.5. It was a good song. It felt there, but there wasn't a lot of meat to it. And we hit on it a couple times. There wasn't the true emotion of it. And this is what really takes a song to a different level. Again, years later, it has that emotion through the music. So the new one, XX, I would give it probably, I was going to say like 7.5, but I'd say an 8 just because of the aggression it pulls. It's pulling in the lyrics that we should reflect on and not just speaking about the lyrics. And that's, again, my experience is that's really important to hear. When I first heard it too, I didn't really enjoy a lot of it. I was like, yeah. I mean, the album was hard because, again, it was what I listened to. But then I started listening more and more, and it did show as my music tastes have changed. This is how the band grew. And mixing those up, you know, the guitars, the bass, it does feel like a lot stronger, much stronger piece than the other one was.
Oh, okay. So we're pretty much all on the same page. It's nice when that happens, isn't it? We all agree on what the original was like, and we agree on the improvements here. But what we're universally saying is this is definitely an improved version of the original Unspoken. And go and listen to it, basically. Whoever you are, just go and listen to this song and enjoy it, because it's a great song. And probably, given how strong the rest of the album is, probably doesn't get all of the love it really deserves as a song on Comanize XX. So it's definitely one to invest a bit of time in, because there's a lot there to like, and the lyrics are great as well. Well, there we go. Unspoken XX. That is the Empty Spiral podcast view on this song. And that pretty much brings us to a close for this episode of the podcast. We've had a great chat with Nicholas. Thank you so much again for joining us and sharing your story. Absolutely inspiring. We've broken apart the deconstructed and reconstructed Unspoken XX, and certainly have spoken. We've had a lot to say on it and reached a conclusion there, which has been also really enjoyable. And we'll be doing the same again in the near future, or the next song, and the next song, and the next song. If you want to join us on the podcast, just reach out to any of us. We love having fellow Coilers. You've all got amazing stories to tell us. This family that we have, we're all part of, has got so many inspirational people, and we can't wait to hear more of your stories. So don't be afraid. We don't bite, except for Mike, but we keep him on a leash. It's fine. Sorry, I always say that. You know I'm going to say it. We don't bite. We really do enjoy those conversations. Think of it like, you know, going down the pub and having a beer with friends, or a cup of tea in a garden party, depending on what you'd like to do on a Sunday afternoon. Because, you know, we can do that. So think of it like that. Do contact us. Do reach out. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to find out more about Lacuna Coil, of course, then there's the Empty Spiral website. You can come and join us there. We've also got a Discord server. We're also very active on all of the social platforms. Yeah, pretty much. I'm still not sure we're really tackling LinkedIn yet, but that's fine. It's not really that kind of thing. But you'll find us on those. Instagram, Facebook, of course. TikTok, Telegram's a thing now, apparently. Who knew? But there we go. We're on Telegram as well. So do reach out. And that's it. And if you want any further advice from me, I would just say stop listening to us and go and listen to more Lacuna Coil. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak again very soon, I'm sure.
Cheers, everyone.
So long.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.